Well, we're turning this morning to this great psalm, Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise. A couple of weeks ago, we started off looking at Isaiah chapter 55, where it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts," this is God speaking to us, "my thoughts not your thoughts, my ways not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." Our God is an awesome God. And I want to just keep reminding us of this over these next few weeks. And then a couple of weeks ago, we looked at that passage, great passage at the end of Isaiah chapter 40, where it says, "Do you not know, have you not heard, that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth?" And then he talks about youth growing weary and tired, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And it's just a tremendous passage. But this morning, for these few moments, looking at Psalm 8, this also speaks about God's strength and our weakness. In fact, it's a very important part of this psalm. I'm going to refer to it a couple of times. It's a great comparison, God's strength, our weakness, the weakness of humanity. Psalm 8, of course, is one of the great psalms ever written, favorite of many, and it might just be worth pointing out, in case some of you may not have noticed it before, maybe you don't know the answer, but here it is. Verse 1, it says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens." And so I've just highlighted in capitals the word Lord. Often you'll find in the Old Testament the word Lord, the name of God. That's the revealed name of God there, Yahweh. We used to have the pronunciation in the Old King James Version, Jehovah, and it's still in many of our hymns, of course, but it was a wrong pronunciation because of the vowels they had inserted. So we're back to Yahweh. We think that's the way it's pronounced, but you'll find in just about every Bible that's written, the name of the word Lord is capitalized. You know that that is the revealed name of God, the word Lord. But then you've got a second Lord there as well, O Lord. Our Lord, what does that mean? Well, the second Lord isn't capitalized all the way through, and it's the old Hebrew word Adonai, which means Lord, Master, Sir, someone more important than you. So really what this is saying is, O Lord, my Master, Lord God Almighty, my Master, how majestic is your name, that first Lord is mentioned. In all the earth, without exception, you have set your glory above the heavens. And what you find here is, in verse 2, the children of God. In verse 3, you find the finger of God. And in the rest of the psalm, it's all about the creation of God. It's all about Him who's so strong and us who often feel so weak. You will notice, I think, strangely enough, that it is children and infants who get the first mention after God. If you've got your Bible open and you just want to make sure I get this right, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name on all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Verse 2, this is the next mention. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. And it's nice to think that in some way or other, in the kids' church in the back there, there's all these little ones, toddlers, and others a bit bigger, and various classes, and they worship and praise God together. And sometimes we sing a kid's song here, and they're all up at the front, and they're jingling things and making noises and waving lights in the air and worshiping God. And that's what this verse is all about. It comes second in all of this. That's what's astounding about this, and we'll come to that in just a moment. But why should they get first mention? They're singled out for special mention here, when so much else could we think might be put in there, but it's ignored. But here are these children. First of all, God Almighty, then little children who worship and praise God. And I think that maybe it's because God has ordained that the weakness shall confound the strongest. The weakest shall confound the strongest. It is a principle that you find right through the Bible. Here's one example. As Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, and he says this over and over again here. Here's a passage. Mark's going to put it up. But God chose the foolish things, I've underlined a few of these, the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are nothing, absolutely nothing, things that are not, to nullify the things that are. Why? So that no one may boast. So you've got this picture of God Almighty. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And then there's these little children mentioned next to it. And that's why. Because they are humble and they're weak. And if you would like to think of it in terms of mathematics, anybody good at mathematics? Here's a good way to think of it. A weak person, that is an infant, a little child, plus God, is stronger than a strong man without God. That's really what this is saying. You know, two and two make four. It all adds up. It's good mathematics. So once again, here we are reading about how awesome God is. Just two things to hang this on, if I may. Firstly, significance. There's something significant here. It is significant that God should mention young children and breastfed babies straight after God is mentioned. That's how the psalmist puts it here. It's significant. In the Authorized Version, it's got babes and sucklings. Children and breastfed babies is literally what it means. And we live in a world where the rich and the influential and the strongest get all the upfront places, don't they? In politics and films, whatever, everywhere we turn. But not so in this psalm. In this psalm, God gets the first place, and rightly so, even in the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. He gets number one spot. Number two spot come the children and the babies, looked after by their mums. What a wonderful picture in the psalm. I can only think it's because a young child symbolizes weakness and humility. That's why they're there. And without a doubt, the dominant idea in this psalm, if you take nothing else with you, take this, is in verse 1, the greatness of the Lord, and in the couple of verses that follow, the smallness of the child. Smallness of the child, the greatness of God. So weak and humble and dependent, so powerful and independent and awesome. And these two contrasted together, sitting side by side. And what makes this all the more stand out, I think, is that on television, if you watch some of the programs by that very clever man, Brian Cox, doing programs about the universe, is that the universe is vast beyond measure. You've set your glory above the heavens. Vast beyond measure. And the baby is so small, vast, and something so small. And yet, in spite of this, we have been told that mankind has been endued with great power. We'll go right back to Genesis chapter 1, and it tells us that we are to rule over all creation. We who started like little children, dependent upon mum and dad, we grow up and we subdue this earth. And this is the passage. Let me remind you, Genesis 1:28. God blessed them, Adam and Eve, our first parents, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. And they did. Fill the earth and subdue it. And they did. rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living creature that moves on the ground. And we have certainly done all of that. I mean, we're way up here somewhere, aren't we? You know, we rule over everything. But we have forgotten, mankind has forgotten that it is not our natural right. It was a gift from God. After God created everything, man being the last, he said to us, gave us this precious place in creation, he said, now, I'm going to make you the boss of everything that's here. You're in charge. You're the dominant creation. You're the most important. And in this psalm, you've got God and the little children. So important. God's most significant creation, you and me, all of us. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, and then we come along. We're next. And like me, you might be wondering why mankind should be so vitally important to God Almighty. I mean, what is there about us that's so important to him? Surely if we mess things up, and we all do, and we've all messed things up pretty bad sometimes, surely he could come along and just wipe the slate clean and start afresh. And God's thought about that a few times, I'll have you know. You remember the flood that was sent? But he didn't wipe out all of mankind. He reserved a remnant, a small family, to start all over again, but he still had the same humanity. And I remember also in, I think it's in Deuteronomy, where the Israelites are doing some awful stuff, and they're the children of God, and God wants to get rid of them and start all over again. And Moses changes his mind. He says, no, these are your people. You chose them. They're special to you. And God changes his mind and he holds on to them. He remembers his promise. But he could so easily have just wiped them all away and started again. So what is there that makes us so special? Well, the second thing that I want to say here is just under the word sovereign. Okay, there's something significant that happened here. There's God, and then there's these little children, the infants and the breastfed babies as being so important. And God made a sovereign choice. And it's a choice that we can do nothing about. And it is this. And it comes out strongly in verses 3 and 4 as the psalmist thinks this through. Okay, so we need to think this through with him. Verse 3 and 4, the psalmist says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? Just pop there for us, Mark. What is man? The psalmist doing some considering, trying to think it through. But what is mankind? Pretty violent sometimes. Pretty good at others, yeah? But we're a sinful creature. And God loves us. And he's not going to change his mind. And as the psalmist considers this, he's dumbfounded. Why has God made a sovereign decision in favor of us? What is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? Do you want to know why? Would you like me to give you the answer? Well, I'm not sure if I've got the right answer. But what I can do is have a look at what the psalmist wrote, okay? Maybe I've got this right. I hope I have. Verse 2, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. I thought about that a lot this last couple of weeks. What does this mean? I read commentaries and all the rest, but it's as if God hears the foe and the avenger, of which there are many. He's got many in this world today, and he knows how they live and what they're doing and what they're saying about God, And all the atheist who says, oh, there are no gods, there's no God whatsoever. And God hears what he says, and then he also hears the praise of the little ones, these little children breastfed, and his heart is glad. The little ones praising God's name drowns out the noise of the curses from the foe and the avenger. And there's something really, really nice about that. It's as if God can switch off to all the bad things that people say, and he focuses in on what the little ones say about him and how they're taught to love him. And then in verse 3 and 4, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Beautiful as creation is, huge as it is, old as it is mankind, and it is our brief history on the planet where the heart of God lies. Now, some people, some very clever people, tell us that the universe is like 14 billion years old and mankind has only been here for like, 100,000 or something. I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. But if they're right, and if for all these almost 14 billion years, God thinks, creation is wonderful, and then along comes mankind and thinks, wow. And not just for this short period of time, but the little ones that he loves. God is a very precious God. God has things sorted out. You see, God is for us. Isn't that what Paul said in Romans 8? He said, if God is for us, who can be against us? His heart lies with us. It lies with you and me this morning. That's where his heart lies. These little children and breastfed babies, that's where his heart lies with humanity. What is man that you're mindful of him? What is it about you and me that he loves us so much? What is it? Friends, it's true that the little ones praise the Lord, that who praise the Lord is stronger than the dictator and the evil one who curses his name. And there is no place for arrogance in the church. It's not as if we can look down our noses at anyone else at all. We're meant to be humble people. But there's a very precious space which is reserved for the little ones who recognize and give honor to the Lord. And so, what conclusion can we draw from all of this? What's this really saying here? Besides, this psalm, this is the second psalm, Psalm 2, verse 7 being the first, which paves the way for the coming of the Messiah. Let me just read that for you. Back to Psalm 2, verse 7. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. First mention in the Psalms of the coming Messiah. This is the second one. This is the second one. Let me read verses 4 to 8 for you again. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, yet you crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and beasts of the field, and birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that swim the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. There came a time when, though the world was busy, 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 and it still is, the focus of God's word came to bear on a special little baby. More about that next month. How many shopping days to Christmas? But the point is this. It was God's sovereign choice. It was his choice. He chose to send his only son as a human baby boy. Now that, I feel, is why you've got God in verse 1. He's number one. And then you've got these children mentioned, because he's drawing our attention to this child who's going to come a thousand years later. And remember the time when Jesus was in the temple, cleansing the temple from all the abuse that was going on. And we're told that when the chief priests and teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, and through the verse of Fermi Mark, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read?" What's the passage? "From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise." He links it to the psalm. Here's the link. And here, friends, is the meaning, I think, of this psalm. Here, I think, is its fulfillment. God's sovereign choice in Christ and sovereign choice in us. What is man? That's us. Okay, what is man that you're mindful of him? You and me, the people out there. And the Son of Man, that's him, Jesus Christ. His favorite title for himself in the Gospels, that you care for him. You made him, the Son of Man, a little lower than the heavenly beings, and you crowned him with glory and honor. And there is this twofold meaning in this psalm. Yes, he loves us, but he loves us in Christ. And we don't understand that until we realize that that God sent his one and only Son to be a human child who would grow up 33 years later, nailed to a cross for our salvation. Crowned him with glory and honor. Here is the twofold meaning: God chose us in Christ. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom and understanding to see these great truths found both in the Old Testament and in the New, in these lovely psalms, the hymn book of the church. And help us this morning to glorify you, O Lord our God, and Christ Jesus our Savior, through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.